job, the lady teaching and outreach fellow incorporates a large number of skills and passions she has developed over her life, including physics, education, public speaking and personal presentations, engagement, engineering, women's representation across a large number of disciplines. Please welcome Claire Kenyon.
Thank you, Elodie, and thank you, St. Catharines, for hosting me today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my journey to where I am now, I suppose, and where I hope to go in the future. And not necessarily bore you with lots of, you know, join science, but more tell you about really just taking opportunities as they arise. So I've called this a spacewalk through ambition, but I hope you can take away more things out of this than just a little bit of ambition and potentially just a spacewalk. Hopefully we're a little bit more grounded than that. First of all, I want to start by just saying, what does anybody know what these people have in common? Does anybody know this person? Just give me a little eyebrow raise if you think you know who it is. It's okay. You're not supposed to. And this one? Does anybody know who that is? I mean, clearly, hopefully you can see the NASA symbol there. And finally, does anybody know this one? No? Amazing. Okay. So the first one, actually, let's start with the last one. The last one is a lady called Valentina Tereshkova. Do you know her now? Okay, that's all right. That's what I'm here for, right? I'm here to educate you just a little bit. So Valentina was actually the first and the youngest woman to fly in space. She's still the youngest female to go into space. That was in 1963 aboard Vostok 6, which was a space mission by the USSR. She did 3 days and 48 orbits of Earth. She's the only woman to have flown, and still is the only woman, to have flown on a solo mission. She was a textile factory worker, an amateur skydiver, before she got picked up by the USSR space program. The one in the middle is Eileen Collins. Now, Eileen did science, economics, arts, had a couple of unis before she joined the military and became an instructor and a test pilot. Then she went on to become the first woman to command and pilot the space shuttle. Now the one on the left, it is your left. Hooray! Hooray for spatial reasoning. Okay, the one on the left is Wally Funk. Best name ever. Wally Funk is quite an extraordinary woman, and there's a really good podcast. If you take anything away today and you're like, you know, the rest of the talk, I went to sleep, look her up. There's a great podcast on her achievements. You might have heard, or may not have heard, of something called the Mercury 7. Now, the Mercury 7 was a program by NASA looking for a bunch of men, basically, that were fit enough mentally and physically to go into space. There were 110 men in the program, and 7 of them passed these rigorous tests. None of them were women. Women weren't even considered. There was a guy who said, you know what, I wonder if women could actually do these tests. And he got together a few, just 20-odd women, and put them through the tests. So from a much, 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 much smaller pool of women, 13 of them passed these tests. Some of them actually passed individual tests. The best individual test for a female was better than the best individual test for a male. I'm not sitting here trying to give you competition between male and female. What I'm trying to say is that women weren't even considered, and perhaps they should have been. So Wally was one of these Mercury 13s. Now, she actually got put in the isolation tank. So they get put in this flotation tank. And some of you that went to NASA and had a look at your tests would know about this. Complete darkness. You actually have to be completely spread-eagled, spread out, floating on your back. Complete sensory deprivation, darkness. It's probably not particularly comfortable. Now, everybody eventually freaks out and says, okay, let me out now. And they don't tell you the time that you've been in there. It was only after all the tests had been completed that Wally actually found out she'd been in there the longest by far out of all the men and all the women. Over 13 hours she spent in this tank. Just chilling out. Despite all of this, none of these women were actually ever invited or considered as part of the space program. Wally still dreams of going to space. She still does. And she still thinks she's going to get there. And hopefully with all the things like SpaceX, she might. These days, she still does space outreach and wants to go to space. She goes and talks in schools and she actually does a whole lot of education. So what do they have in common? I might leave that for you to think about. Okay, so you've heard a lot about Wally, a little bit about Eileen and some about Valentina. Who am I and why am I here? Well, obviously I'm not the Earth. I like to think that I'm the world to my dogs. So I have two dogs, Molly and Finn. I like to think that I'm the world to them, but actually perhaps they are the world to me. I am a double bass player, a piano player, sometimes singer, occasional yeller when I'm at concerts. Then I can't sing, obviously. And I'm also a netball player, I was, and I'm also a coach at netball. I've also played hockey, I've played softball. I've also done Muay Thai, and I've done a whole bunch of weights as well. Because, you know, you can never have too much exercise. So I guess let's just move on to the slightly more boring bits. You found out, well, I think they're more boring, frankly. The slightly more boring bits, well, you might recognise me, certainly not my passport photo, but I think that probably describes my sort of attitude just generally to things. Put an orange in your mouth and smile. What have I done? Well, for some people, this is the important part. For some people, they sit there and they're like, oh, you've done a Bachelor of Science, you've done two separate majors in seemingly different disciplines, or you've done a Diploma of Music, a Diploma of Arts in Criminology. GCOL, what's that? Oh, well, that's the Graduate Certificate of Advanced Leadership and Learning. Sounds really posh and exciting. And it was actually kind of fun. And the PGCE is basically a graduate diploma in education, and a Master's in Education, a Master's in Astronomy. Now, I didn't actually come out of school and go, I want to get a whole bunch of pieces of paper. That's not what I thought to myself. I was like, I still like learning. I'm enjoying myself here. I want to go to uni. But at the time, I'd actually picked up double bass halfway through year 11. And I went, stuff physics, stuff maths. I'm going to go and study music. So I actually started in a music degree. Then I switched across to science, and then everything else happened. But I'll come back to that in a second. Right now, I'm currently trying to finish my PhD. It's been a good 5 years, and any good PhD candidate will tell you that's too long and not long enough. And you never, ever, ever ask a PhD student how long they've got. It's not a good idea. Okay. There are all the things that I've done that are important to the people that are looking at my CV. Well, I actually don't think they're the most important things for you guys, or for me. So this is my supervisor, Rachel Webster. She's the head of astrophysics. She studied at Cambridge. That's also important to some people that read CVs. As far as is important to me, she's been the most supportive woman in my life for the last 5 years, encouraging me to actually investigate all the things that I'm really interested in, apart from my PhD. So my journey to being an astrophysicist had a bunch of what I call drawing pin moments. Why are they called drawing pin moments? You'll find out in a second. So when I was a little girl, two in fact, I'll let you count back the years and work out how old I am, it's not difficult, my mum took me out to see Halley's Comet. Looked up at the sky, it was cloudy, pretty boring, took me back inside. But that was my first real taste of astro. After that, I was about seven years old. I was still interested in space, and I was like, you know, everyone's got that kind of fascination with what's up there, you know, and it represents everything to you that you just don't know and you don't experience on Earth. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. There was a meteor shower, you know, beautiful, like, shooting stars across the sky. I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was freezing cold because all good things that happen outside happen in winter, right, at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I got up, I got my blanket, I went downstairs to the kitchen and I opened the back doors and went outside. And I went, oh, what's that feeling? It hurts a bit. It's okay. I walked out, had a look at the sky. It was cloudy. Good. At least that's consistent. I went back inside and I suddenly realised I had this massive pain, you know, right where your toe is and it joins your foot. I'd actually stood on a drawing pin. Yep. And it was going clunk, 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 clunk all the way outside. And I looked in and, yep, there was blood and there was lots of fun things. And that's why I don't do biology or medicine. So there was blood everywhere and had this drawing pin. But I guess that's why I call these drawing pin moments, is because even though I stood on a drawing pin, even though it's been cloudy twice, that's not stopping me. I'm still interested. I'm still keen. I'm still going to go out there and brave all the drawing pins that there are. So I was like a typical kid, I reckon. I liked rocks. I liked volcanoes. I liked dinosaurs. I liked fashion. I liked makeup. I liked dancing. I liked music. I liked lots of things. Pretty typical. My dad actually said to me when I was about 10, when I was reading an astro book, and I don't mean to bag my dad here, but he said, what are you going to do? Because, you know, when you're in year four, you know, right? He said, what are you going to do? I said, oh, I don't know, Dad. I like space. He said, okay, but maybe you should just keep that as an interest, as a hobby. Because back then, we've been 94, yeah, you can work out how old it was, 94, space wasn't a big thing, all right? There was no money in it. It was really hard to get an astro job as a researcher or as an observer or any type of technical role because it just wasn't a thing. We don't have what we have now, which is this explosion in the space field. So Dad said, you know what, maybe think about medicine, maybe think about law, maybe think about something else. I'm worried about your future. Okay, Dad, another drawing pin moment. Because I could have easily done those things. And I almost did. I should have seen his face when I told him I was going to be a musician. and my final drawing pin moment was mentioned in my bio. I walked into my year 11 class thinking, yeah, I really like science. You know, I've got my year 9 and year 10 head of like science. You know, I won the science prize and everything. And I walked into physics thinking, yeah, I can do this, no problem. We got to the second week of physics and I couldn't do it. I just didn't understand it. It was a completely new way of thinking and I just didn't get it. We were doing lenses and light paths and I just, at the end of the class, I just went, Dr. Irvine, you know what, I'm out of here, can't do it. I don't enjoy this, this is not fun. You know, and you guys have a bit of you're kind of lucky in a way. You don't have the 24 boys and 3 girls that I had in my physics class. Not that that was necessarily part of it, but it could have been. I definitely felt embarrassed that I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand what I was supposed to understand in the first 2 weeks. But Dr. Irvine said, you know what, just stick it out for a bit longer. If you really want to go, I'll let you go, but I really want you to just give this a chance. So I guess back to this for a moment. I told you that this is important to some people, and it is important. You need to have the stuff to back up what you're saying. You actually need that. You need the truths behind you. Now, I just want to point out something. I did my Bachelor of Science at the University of Melbourne. I did that straight after school. I'm not necessarily advocating that for people. Some people are going to want to take a break, and that's okay. But I did my Bachelor of Science. I went to music, got 2 years in and went, oh, I really miss physics, and I'm kind of a bit sort of over music, and I love it, but it's an interest, and I followed it for a bit, but you know what? I really miss science. So I went back and I did mathematical physics and geology and I changed my music degree into a diploma. So I kept it up, I got a piece of paper for it, I got a truth, I got something that somebody's going to go, okay, yes, I can see that you did that, all right? I kept studying at the University of Melbourne, I met a man. We went overseas and went to Abu Dhabi and I just worked there as basically an office person. I tried to get a job in geology, even though I had a degree, it wasn't a thing. Wasn't going to happen for me. So I stayed there for a year and then I sort of got bored of that. I went, you know what, I'm not really extending myself. So I enrolled in a Master of Science with Swinburne and I did that via distance. So I was still interested, kept myself in the game. And then I was like, you know what, I can't live here anymore, I'm going to go to England. So I went to England and I started teaching. I thought, you know what, I need something to just tick over. Maybe I'll come back and teach. And then while I was in England, I met some really good friends. I got some really good credit and I actually did my master's there at the same time. And I wrote my thesis on the top of one of those double-decker red buses that goes around the streets. Okay? And yes, the irony didn't escape me. Okay? I was out having this amazing time in the middle of London writing a thesis as well. And yeah, I had some pieces of paper by then, but I wasn't finished. I was still busy asking questions. From there, I travelled around Europe. I went to Iceland. I went to Morocco. I travelled around the US and Canada for a year. So I took the opportunity to keep studying, just one subject here and there, but I also actually took some time to backpack and see the world and experience things. To me, these things are actually far more important to my development than probably the pieces of paper that I got in the end. I'm not saying the pieces of paper aren't important. I'm saying that the journey is actually the part that made me who I am and made me come home, keep teaching for a year and then go, you know what? I'm not finished with physics. I want to go back and I want to do my PhD. And I actually I took my students to, I don't know if you know, but Melbourne University runs an outreach thing for year 11 and 12 students, physics students. We run Thursday lectures every second week. And I took a group of students there. And I met my old university professor. And he said, you know what, you're getting a bit long in the tooth. If you want to start your PhD, you've got to start it now. I was 28. I felt old, but I can tell you now I wasn't. Okay. I went back and I went, okay, finished teaching for 2 years. Did 2 years teaching here, and then I went and did my PhD, started it. And that's where I am now. In my PhD, I'm going to Munich in a couple of weeks. I'm speaking at a conference. I have been to Penn State University. I've been to Hawaii twice as part of my uni degree. Right? So astrophysics is taking me a long way. So I guess, why did I tell you all this stuff? Well, when we look at the moon, when we looked at space and said, oh, we want to go there, okay? Yeah, the destination's important. We need to have somewhere we're aiming. But sometimes that changes, okay? We're now looking at Mars, not so much the moon, and some people are still looking at the moon. Some of us are looking at asteroids and comets. Our destination might change, okay? But actually, it's the journey from Earth to the moon, or from here to Hawaii. It's from here to my PhD. It's from here to wherever I'm going next. That's actually the important part, and that's what's made and shaped me as a person. So, I guess, what I want to say to you, I guess the takeaway, before I get to the takeaways, is that at no point did anybody stop me and say, you know what, you just need to focus on physics. You just need to do that. And physicists don't wear makeup. And physicists don't wear red shoes. Okay? Physicists don't dress like that. Physicists don't play sport. Physicists don't coach netball. Physicists don't dance. Okay? I was lucky nobody said that to me. But I'm acutely aware that that is what is being said to you from outside influences all the time, just subtly. No, you can't do that. You can't have this interest and you can't have this interest at the same time. They don't match. I'm here to tell you that they do. That's part of your journey. And how you shape those things together is the most important part of what you're doing and what you're going to do. It's not whether you get to the moon or not. It's your journey on the way. Because that destination will change. So it doesn't matter. You can be interested in science, in fashion, music, hair, physics, chemistry, archery. It's the one thing so far I've said that I'm not that interested in. Kardashians is the next one that I'm not that interested in. But it doesn't actually matter. Have many. Let them come in and out of your life. Come back to them. That's fine. I want to know what all these things have in common. So smoke detector, water purifier, satellite TV, dust buster, freeze-dried food. That one. Oh, a space blanket. The speed suits that you might have seen in the Olympics, the swimming. Tires. Artificial limbs. I think someone was talking about they're like seeing gross body bits. As I said, this is why I do physics, not people. Memory foam. So what do they all have in common? Well, believe it or not, the space race, these all came out of that. So the journey, the destination was to put man up in space and then ultimately to put man up on the moon. Every single one of these was invented by somebody on the way to doing that as a response to a problem, a specific problem that they had. Every single one of these either had a person or a group of people on that journey solving that problem. So that could be you. That could be you doing that. In any field, it could be fashion. You could be working out a new elastic for socks. It doesn't matter. Okay? If that's your journey, that's your journey. These things are just as important, and we couldn't have got there without these things. Okay, so my takeaway, sorry to go over time. I want you to go out and be curious as a default. Not, oh, I'm feeling curious today. No, I'm just always curious. I want to ask questions. I want to know what's going on. Find out why stuff happens. There's nothing to lose. Be brave. Make mistakes. Who cares, all right? You can't learn a language without mucking up a verb conjugation. You just can't. You're never going to be perfect. Get it done. Follow your interests. Don't worry if they don't match. Netball doesn't really go with physics, but guess what? Fault detection does. I can watch an athlete do something and say, that's because their knee isn't taking this force properly because they're bending their toe outwards. Right? You'd be surprised how things come together. Surround yourself with like-minded people. It's really important. Set your goals as high as the moon. Your destination might still change, but it's the journey. And if you don't set your goals high enough, then your journey just isn't going to be worthwhile. Thank you so much for having me, and I'd be more than happy to have any questions or anything after this, if you can hang around or anything, or you can contact me either through Insta or whatever, Twitter as well. I've also got my University of Melbourne email, but I'm very, very happy to support you, and thank you so much for having me, St. Catharines.